Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And Brother Leroy Thompson is here again today. Praise the Lord. And I tell you, the anointing is in this room. And he's sitting here saying things to me. I couldn't get him to turn this thing on fast enough. I want you to hear what the man is saying. Father, we just thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for sending Brother Leroy to us today to help us with insight into our faith and insight into what you've done for us and given us and how to frame our own financial world with our faith words and your ministry and power to us. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, yesterday, when we closed, we were in the Gospel of Luke. You remember? We were talking about the 15th chapter there, those two brothers that one of them, the daddy divided equally among those two boys their inheritance. They had it all. One of them gathered up all of his and just left town. Well, the other one, you know, he said he got mad when that boy came back home, the prodigal came back home. He got mad and wouldn't even call him his brother and said, there you go, kill a fatted calf for that boy of yours that's no good, been running around out there with all them bad women and all that, blew everything he got. I stayed right here and worked for you all this time. I didn't transgress any of your commandments, and you don't give me as much as a little goat. And his father said with tears in his voice, son, you've been with me all this time. All I have is yours.
Wow.
And he did not know. And this is what Brother Thompson's talking to us about yesterday. He didn't know that and it wasn't that he wasn't told. He didn't have enough gratitude about him. He didn't account it as a treasure when what his dad had given him, and it wasn't even on his mind. All that's on his mind is, I work hard, nobody ever gives me anything. He's mad at his daddy. So, just as we got to that point, we had to close yesterday. Now, let's pick it up right here and move on from these two young men and their attitudes toward their Father and our attitude toward our Heavenly Father and our gratitude. Now, that's right where we were yesterday. So let's turn this back over to Dr. Ganlin and let's see where we're going from here.
You know, as you were speaking, Brother Copeland, there's a saying, what you don't know can't hurt you.
Oh, that's a lie.
That's a lie, because ignorance always hurts you. And there's some things that you need to know, and that this boy didn't know, that the elder boy didn't know, or he didn't understand or didn't comprehend that all that the father had was his. And so therefore he's grumbling and griping and complaining, and he should have been full of gratitude. And so, as I said, the Spirit of God woke me up. They didn't know. He took me to another passage in Luke 16, and I'm working on something because I'm finally going to get to something that I want to put out that the body of Christ can get a hold of. But we got to go through these, they didn't know. Here in Luke 16, now we have this scenario, which is just as bad. Sadly, they say we have a beggar, which is representing the church, shouldn't be, and a rich man representing the world. Then in Luke 16:19, it said there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of souls. And verse 21, it tells the whole story. And desiring to be favored, the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Mm. Moreover, the dog, he was came and licked his soul. He was sick and broke. And it shouldn't be. And why? Because he didn't know. Now, let me share this with you. And this is a lesson of faith. This is a lesson of developing your faith for your financial freedom. This beggar had to represent the church, because he's the one, when he died, went into Abraham's bosom. The rich man died and went to hell. If you notice in verse 21, he's desiring crumbs. And in my early boyhood of being a Christian, I saw this in the church and didn't know what to do about it, because I had come out of the world, and the world was flatfoot living it up when it come down to mundane things. I mean, it bought the best, drank the best, wore the best. And when I came to the church, I saw a beggarly spirit, and I didn't understand, because I read my Bible and I saw how big God was and how many promises God has said. But my faith wasn't there, because I never had heard the word of faith, never heard no preaching about the real word of God. So I thought it was appropriate for the church to be where she was. And then I found out that it was a whole new system God had set up through Jesus Christ, and that we didn't have to have the crumb, that we could be loving God, we could be blessed also. And the Lord revealed to me in this text that that's where his church has been, and it grieved the Father that all the breakthrough that the Lord Jesus Christ had brought through for us, and the church not enjoying it. So in this verse, when I saw this, matter of fact, Leroy Jr. Was reading it. Him I was reading it, and he saw this. He said, "Dad, they desire in the crumb that that fall from the rich man's table." And then it dawned on me, the Bible said, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you the desires of your heart." He cannot, Brother Copeland, he cannot go no further than you believe him. And you can't believe him no further than you have understanding about how God operate and how God function. So right here, I'm saying to the body of Christ, God do not want you to have the crumbs. Having the crumbs is not spiritual.
No, it is.
It grieves the Father, because the Father, just like the story we were talking about yesterday, that Father was grieved over the elder son who didn't recognize any time he wanted he can go out there and kill a fetish calf. Didn't know it. The same thing holds true for you. You might be struggling in your finances. You might be, as you say, up in debt up to your neck. I'm telling you, there's a breakthrough word for you today. If you hear what the Father says, delight yourself in the Lord. In other words, get into the Word. Meditate the Word. Meditate scriptures that the Father has promised to you, and you begin to delight yourself in the Lord. And then turn and talk to him, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart.
Now, that we were told that that was the proper attitude of humility, was to desire little, mm-hmm. and expect little. And that, you know, it didn't say God loves a cheerful giver. It our idea was that God loves a poor man, you know, that doesn't ask for much and doesn't assume things, and
that's a holy man.
But now, I never saw that coming up. I never saw people actually, honestly practicing that, except the Eastern religions. Mm-hmm. They were beating themselves with things and starving themselves and all of this, because it was spiritual activity. And here was a bunch of Christian people that talked about it all the time and just stayed broke. But then they go out, work hard all week and borrow money and try to get by that way, and then come to church with that poor mouth, try to keep the pastor just as poor and ragged as they can keep him.
Absolutely.
Because he's supposed to represent this sorry way of living.
Yes, and to a certain degree, he was represented.
Yeah, he was.
Because of the revelation.
Yeah.
You see, the revelation said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." You read on, it says, because of the priests. And so a lot of time, the body of Christ and the church was taught into this system, because that's all the pastor knew. When the pastor got called, that's all he had heard before he got called.
Yeah. And so he thought he was humbling himself before
exactly.
God.
And he was beating the people and himself out of what God wanted him to have.
My.
And it was an incorporated deception. It had the pastor deceived, had all the members deceived, and finally somebody come along and the Lord really revealed himself to them. And we got a hold of the word of faith and got a hold of that God want us blessed. Men like Oral Roberts come along and got the revelation on the seed and start sharing with the body of Christ how important it was to believe God for his goodness.
Break out of that.
Something good going to happen to you instead of something bad going to happen to you.
I'd like for you to spend some time with this right here. What we thought was humility. I'm seeing something here.
Okay.
This beggar wasn't begging God. Mm-mm. He's begging the world.
Begging the world.
He was begging a representative of hell, a representative of Satan.
Absolutely.
He is lying on his doorstep, with his hat in his hand, begging, hoping, desiring to get some crumbs here.
Yes, and see, what happened is there are good Christians that are listening to us today and have been working and really tithing and really giving and have not gotten their financial breakthrough. And the reason they haven't got their financial breakthrough is there are some things that have to be dismantled. Even though we're Christian, even though we have seen Scripture, as I talked on last week, that dismantling of erroneous thinking this, and what you listen to, what people are telling you, you have to separate yourself. You know we had to be separated out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to separate yourself to get your breakthrough because God wants you to have the best. And God don't want you just to be blessed. God wants you to be a blessing. And we are going to those jobs, working overtime, everybody working, and that's all you dependent on. You that beggar at that gate.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw that. You that beggar because you expecting that secular job to do for you what only God can do for you. So you just go to your job routinely, and you're really dependent on that job. You're really dependent on that job to produce your living, and the job will never produce the type of living that God wants you to live. And so if, say for instance, Brother Copeland, if a person, you are a Christian, and you totally dependent upon your job to supply or make your living or to bring forth your living, and don't know these things we're talking about, how to tap in to the principles of God's word, how to apply your faith, how to go into increase, how to go into prosperity, how to go into the overflow. You don't know how to do that. You haven't been taught that, but you got a good job. You'll turn out to be a beggar.
Sure.
I remember in my secular job, I worked on 16 years before I learned these truths. My whole dependency was on that job. And so that job, the check I got wasn't enough to do what my dream, my desires were bringing forth. But I really was trusting my job for everything I needed.
And then your parents, who had a heart for you, they didn't want to see you get hurt. And they did their best to talk you into the confines of that job, and so you wouldn't get your hopes up and get out of the boundaries of that job and then get disappointed and get slapped down in there. So they tried to keep you from ever desiring much more. So now you're back to desiring the crumbs, and that's all God could do for you.
Job, so you get a good job and good credit.
Yeah.
Both of them will kill you if you don't have the revelation of the seed, because a good job will not produce for you what God wants you to
have. And you're
going to
live out your life like that.
Yeah, yeah. And as you said, the parent who didn't know any better, sort of a protective form, they would tell you to do that. And that's what happened.
My dad, he broke out of that. God revealed things to him. My dad and my mother were tithers. I'm telling
Praise
you,
God.
They put the tithing vow in their wedding ceremony. They vowed to God to tithe everything he blessed. I mean, he's two little kids out there in West Texas on an old dirt farm, wasn't worth nothing.
Sure.
But they got sight of that. And they didn't know to reach on out there and believe for a lot, but they honored God.
Yeah,
and all the way then, they got married in 1927. All the way during the Depression, my dad never went 24 hours out of job. And out there jobs was tough before the Depression ever hit out there where they were.
Yeah.
But over the years, God was able to get through to them, where they wow. began to push the boundaries back and see that God, there's more to there's this more thing to than that. And yeah. they began to move things, and they just caught thunder from their families. And who do you think you are? You become, well, I mean, you know, first thing you know, you'd be buying a new car, yeah, you know, yeah, yeah. and this kind of thing. And they did, sure enough. But then I came in there about that time, and they began, like you said, they began to listen to Brother Roberts and them that make God your source. Not your business, make God your source. And they began to move in that direction. And about that time, I got saved and went to Oral Roberts University. So I already had pretty decent background from the time I became an early teenager. I began to see my folks say, we don't have to be bound into this. God's got more to that than this. And they didn't know what it all was, but they began to see it. And as we begin to do that simple thing, make God your source.
Make God your source.
That was the word when Brother Roberts began to preach that. Make God your source. That it was so simple, but it began to grow.
Yes, yes. And see, now my background is totally different. I had no concept about tithing or the goodness of God. We didn't go to church. My mom found out I went to Catholic church with her. Never talked about tithing. I didn't know nothing about none of that. So what I'm saying is, when you were talking, I heard something I'm going to say in a few moments. Sometimes God give me these things, and I just say it because it blessed people. But what you talking about, how your daddy found out that the boundaries could be wider spiritually and that God would do greater things, I didn't have it. So here we both sit. It'll work God thing, whether you had it or not, it'll work once
Absolutely.
You see it. It'll work for it. But when you were talking about your dad, I heard this phrase, get away from the fence and run out in the middle of the yard and enjoy yourself. You know? It's not like somebody just stand on the fence line. Yeah, get out in the yard. Yeah, there's a whole opening out there. Now, this is for somebody. That's a whole opening. Because a lot of time in my pastorship, God gave me a phrase or something like that, and you know, I said, Lord, you want me to say that? He said, yeah. Tell them, get away from the fence. Run out in the yard. There's a whole lot more for you out there. Stop hanging. You see, sometimes you're hanging the fence, and you don't even know nothing else out there. You're just trying to get out the fence. But it's already in the arena. Go out there and run out in the middle of the yard. There's plenty out there for you, you know. Yeah, praise God. So we got this blind, we got this beggar, and now we'll go to Matthew 25, just like the Lord told me. Now, there's a lot of buried talent, buried seed that have not flourished because we didn't know what to do with it. And here in Matthew 25, the 27th verse now, we deal with another case. You know, the man had the three servants, I think it was. And the one he gave one to in the 27th verse is, when he came to reckon with him, he said, thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchange, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent, verse 28, from him, and give it to him which has 10 talent. Then he said, verse 29, unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundant. But from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he hath. Now, here's what happened. This is what the Lord showed me when he says they didn't know. This guy with this one talent didn't know the power of a seed. He buried it, but he didn't plant it. He didn't do what the Lord, overseer wanted him to do with it. Therefore, he lost out. And so if you don't know what to do, that's where you mess up at. That's where you lose out at.
Leroy, he had the wrong concept to start with. He said, I know you're a man who reaped where you didn't sow. Well, there ain't no such thing as reaping where unless you're stealing it.
Right.
And that's not true with God. Now, the thing that struck me right then while you was talking. He came back and said, you knew I was a man to reap where I didn't sow. In other words, if that's what you think, that's the level that you're going to be on, and it'll cost you everything you have, and there's not anything God can do about it if that's what you want to believe.
That's what you want to believe, exactly. That's exactly what he was saying to him. And that's, that, and that's exactly what he's saying to us. Every believer who's listening to us, if that's what you want to believe, that's what you're going to receive.
You believe that it's not God's will for you to be well, you're going to stay sick.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know he loves you. He'll do his best to get through to you.
Yeah, but if you believe
But if you believe that, you're going to stay sick.
Yeah, same way by finances. If you believe God don't want you blessed financially, I mean, God can make you take it. He will not make you take it. You take it by faith.
That's startling.
Yeah, he'll just said God will just stand right by you and let you go that way. That's the way you want to go.
Because of his wrong thinking, he went out and buried that money. He's scared spitless. He don't even want to handle this, man.
Fear.
Yeah, he run out there and buried it. And
trying to hold on to it.
Yeah.
See, trying to hold on to a little bit is the worst thing you could do.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're trying to hold on to a little bit, saving for a rainy day, saving for retirement. Where you going to go, that little money you got for retirement? You go to the front porch or the back porch? So just release it and let God do something with it, then you'll go anywhere in the world you want.
Yeah.
You know, give it as the Spirit of God leads.
Sit out there on that porch and die broke.
Yeah. And then you got this woman, the widow woman with the mite. Girl bold, man. She look around. She ain't had much. She said, I'm throwing it all in. She threw it all in. And that's when I come to the question. And I want everybody to hear this. What happened when Jesus can't get his mind off of your seed? What?
Did you hear that?
What happened when Jesus can't get his mind off of your seed? There's a seed that'll get on Jesus' mind, and he can't get his mind
off
it.
Man, he said, they going to talk about this woman?
Yes, sir.
I can hardly wait till we get our hands on Heaven's archives. I want to see what happened to her.
I
guarantee you this, talking about it, what he said, they're going to talk about her and what happened to her.
I was meditating that, and that's what the Lord said. Man. What happened when Jesus can't get his mind off of your seed? He couldn't get his mind off that woman's seed. Them guys were throwing in a whole lot of money, but he watched that girl.
She got his attention.
But she got his attention. Forever.
We're out of time. We'll be back in just a moment.
When the frame of a new wall rests on a solid foundation, the transaction of weight allows construction to continue, and a home is created. God's Word created everything in this world and is the divine foundation that we can trust in and build our lives upon. The Divine Transaction Package is two books by Dr. Leroy Thompson. In framing your world with the Word of God, you'll learn to line up your thinking with God's Word so that you can know and act on His will for your life. Learn to confess the Lordship of Jesus over every circumstance. In Money Cometh to the Body of Christ, you'll get step-by-step instructions to make adjustments and take action to see God's prosperity come into your life. This package is designed to help you get God's perspective on finances and the foundation of His supply to accomplish your part in fulfilling the Great Commission and bring in the harvest of souls in these exciting days. Order the Divine Transaction Package today for only $18. This package includes two books by Dr. Leroy Thompson, Framing Your World with the Word of God and Money Cometh. These dynamic books bring insight into your financial future. Purchase your package online through our website at kcm.org or call our toll-free number, 800-575-4455. You may also write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Order the Divine Transaction Package today.
What's going to happen when Jesus can't get his mind off your seed? Oh, glory to God. I'll tell you what's going to happen. A bunch of good stuff. That's what's going to happen. And when you can't get your mind off of his harvest and he got his mind on your seed, man, I'm telling you, we're going somewhere.
Yes, sir.
Praise God. Get hold of this divine transaction package, framing your world with the Word of God, and money cometh. Your debt has already been canceled through the blood of Jesus. There's more, far more than enough set aside for you just to wipe out all those debts. And God will take care of it if you'll let 2008 be your year to get out of debt. I mean, make the quality decision that every step I take this year is a step into increase. It's a step into prosperity. It's a step into overflow. This is my time, praise God.
Praise God.
And I'm not turning back. I'm not going back to them beggarly ways.
No.
No, sir.
No,
praise
sir.
God.
No, sir.
Father, thank you.
Lord, thank
we pray
you.
Over this radio and television audience all over the world to get hold of the information that's coming forth
on these broadcasts.
Thank you. In Jesus' name. Praise God. Glory and I are coming to Branson, Missouri right away, March the 6th through the 8th at Faith Life Church there. It's going to be a victory campaign in Branson. Praise the Lord. If there ever was a church that knows how to have a meeting and a victory campaign, it's Keith and Phyllis Moore's church. Praise God. Listen, you be with us tomorrow. Don't miss one word of this. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and Leroy Thompson reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or to order a copy of today's broadcast, log on to our website at kcm.org or call us toll-free 800-575-4455. Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you with teaching tools, prayer, and other ministry resources to help you live in faith and victory every day. This is the year of fullness of blessing, a time for you to receive the blessing without measure. Take the time to intentionally immerse yourself in God's Word and allow it to transform your life. Dive in at the 2008 Branson Victory Campaign. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland for 3 days of soaking in God's Word, March 6th to the 8th at the new location of Faith Life Church, 3701 State Highway 76 in Branson, Missouri. Visit kcm.org or call 800-600-7395. Tomorrow on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
He will test you. He will give you an assignment to see can he trust you at the next level. And so if you obey him at that level, then promotion will come here, take you to the next level.